It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul says something that is absolutely beautiful and absolutely stunning in light of what we have studied in the past months and over the year in our study through the book of Romans. In Romans 10, verse 8, we have this question posed to us. But what does it say? This is the one who speaks by the righteousness of faith. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, this morning on Abounding Grace, we come to one of the most beautiful and clear statements about how a sinner is saved. It is the greatest encouragement today to the dear believer who is struggling with his sin and wondering about God's love. It is the greatest blessing to you who have parents or loved ones maybe who do not believe, because you cannot read this passage without being moved by the heart of God. You cannot read this passage without being awestruck by the great truth that is being presented, that God is here represented with his arms outstretched, desiring the sinner to come and believe in his Son and receive eternal life. Anyone who reads this passage without seeing just how great God's mercy is to sinners under wrath has twisted and misapplied the whole passage. Paul's been building up over the past few chapters to get to this main point that is before us this morning in Romans chapter 10. I want you to notice the language. He says in verse 9, whoever believes with the heart that God has raised Christ, and whoever confesses with his mouth that Christ is Lord, he will be saved. So, dear sinner, he says, God outstretches his arms to you and he says, here's my heart on the matter. Come and believe. Look to my Son. Here he is. He's near. This is not some exclusive thing. Whoever believes, he says, verse 11, notice this. There's no distinction. The same Lord is over all, is rich to all, and whoever calls shall be saved. Whoever, all, no distinction, whoever. Get the point? What a beautiful passage, isn't it? How did he get here? Well, if we don't set again the context, you really lose how glorious Paul's conclusion here is in verses 9 through 16 of Romans chapter 10. You remember the Paul that Paul is dealing with in these chapters from 9 to 11 is the great question about Israel's failure, why they did not attain. They were God's chosen people. They had all these external benefits. Why then didn't they attain? And Paul has really given us two answers to that question under the inspiration of the Spirit. The first answer to that is the doctrine of election. And Paul said this in Romans chapter 9. It's not through the flesh that one attains. It's not through bloodline or the circumcision or these sort of things. But it's through the children of promise in whom God is working out his purposes according to election. But right in the next breath, Paul wants to ensure that we don't begin to operate from the secret things of God. And I see this with people who newly come into the Reformed understanding and the doctrines of grace. They immediately jump into hyper-Calvinism and they don't know what they're talking about. Paul doesn't operate from the secret things of God. He makes it clear that God is not to blame for that. The reason that Israel failed is because of unbelief. The reason that Israel failed is because of justification by faith. Verse 31 of chapter 9 tells us that Israel did not attain because they pursued the law of righteousness and did not seek it by faith, stumbling over Christ. But the Gentiles attained because they trusted in Christ, who became for them the end of the law for righteousness. And so, what the apostle was telling us goes back to chapter 3, where he said that the law was given to Israel, handed to them, for what purpose? That every mouth would be stopped, and the whole world would become condemned before God. So the answer is they are a theater and a conscience of the world, showing us where trying to save yourself will land you. They had it all. They had the law, they had the commandments, they had the prophets, they had everything. And they tried with earnest to do the commandments and live. And when God would come and he would indict them through his prophets, they did not turn to Christ. They said, "This is worthless. We'll follow the laws and the dictates of our own hearts." And Jeremiah exposes that. And so Paul has outlined these two ways for us to attain righteousness. There are two possible ways, really. There is the way of keeping the law. But, says Paul, you would have to be able to keep that perfectly. And yet no sinner can. And then there's the way of faith in Christ, faith in Jesus Christ for righteousness. Christ for righteousness, verse 4 of Romans 10, for everyone who believes. And that's the only way a sinner can be right with God, is that when Christ becomes his righteousness, and by receiving Christ and his benefits by faith, the very righteousness of Christ is imputed to our accounts as if we had never sinned nor been a sinner. Now, the issue before us today is really a continuation of an issue that was presented in verses 5 through 8. And the issue is simply this. If it is impossible for me to attain to the righteousness of the law, and Christ has become the end of the law for righteousness, how is Christ brought to me? Well, in verse 9, we have the most beautiful and powerful statement made in the epistle about a sinner. How a sinner is saved from wrath, hell, and destruction. We read that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That statement comes on the heels of what he had just said in verse 8 of Romans 10. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, I don't want to rehearse all the details of that because that's a quote right out of Deuteronomy 30. But remember what happened there. Moses said that the commandment was in their mouth and in their heart that they may do it. And that was a response to Israel's mentality that said, how do we bring the commandments of God to us? They were saying, do we need to ascend into heaven to get God's commandments, or do we need to go over to the river to bring them to us that we may do them and live? And Paul saw something there. The principle of the law was always what? And Galatians 3 picks this up. Do this and live. He knew that Moses was doing something. No sinner can keep the commandment. And here he was telling them, it's not too difficult. You don't need to go get it anywhere. It's in your mouth and in your hearts. You know the will of the Lord. Do it and live. And Paul meditated upon that. Just preceding that, he said what? The Lord, this is Deuteronomy 30, will circumcise your hearts. And it struck Paul. Moses had somebody else ultimately in mind. He was speaking of Jesus. It is Jesus to whom that ultimately applies. The commandment would not be too difficult for him. He would do it for us. And what I want you to see is what Paul does here in Romans. In verse 4, remember what he said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. It is his life. The sinner then is not to say in his heart, remember that was taken from a different passage in Deuteronomy, that spoke of trying to merit something by your own works. So do not say in your heart that by my own power, I will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Not that you may do it. Now listen to this. It's the word of faith which we preach. Look what he does. That if you confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a beautiful passage, isn't it? Paul right then and there inserted Christ where commandment was found in Deuteronomy 30. They said, how do we go get the commandment and bring it to us? Paul says, dear Christian, who have the righteousness of faith, you don't lack anything. You don't need to worry about how this righteousness is made available to you. So it's summed up like this. The one who has Jesus Christ's righteousness imputed to their accounts by faith does not try by his own merit and own works to pull Christ down and bring Christ to him. What does it say? Christ is near me in the word which is being preached to me. Christ has fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law in the incarnation and his resurrection. All that needs to be fulfilled is fulfilled. All that needs to be satisfied is satisfied. I'm propitiated, says God, to the sinner in Christ. And that being true, you don't have to do anything to manipulate God to bring this righteousness to you, to bring what you need to you. But here's what I've done, and I love this, my friends. God is saying, I have sent preachers to you to proclaim him. Here he is. Here's how you take a hold of him. Here's how you receive him. Here's how you receive what you need, by believing in the heart and confessing him from the heart. Everything's in place. And so every week, if you're attending a church where Christ is faithfully preached, you have everything you need, as Jesus is preached from all of Scripture in his beauty and in his holiness, and we lay hold of his life, death, and resurrection by the instrument of faith. God is saying, when you believe in your heart and you confess him in your life flowing from your mouth, you will be saved. Christ is yours and you are his. So the question then that has to be asked today is, do you believe? Have you confessed him? We're going to look at what that means in your life in the coming week here. Have you trusted in Jesus? Every week, if the servant is doing what he has done, Christ is being preached, and God calls you to receive him by faith as the only way, truth, and life.
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about the broadcast or anything that you've heard here on the broadcast, or if you have any questions about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you. You can call us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can also access our website, lindenurc.com. Find out a bit more about us. Take advantage of some of the sermons that we've posted online there, as well as email us with any questions or concerns you might have, especially prayer requests. We would love to pray for you in any way that we can. Again, lindenurc.com or call 360-318-0429. You can always write to us at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And for directions, you can either visit our website, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.